Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From the You Can't Make This Up file.
Oh, boy.
Which seems to be where most of my news is coming from these days.
Yeah.
You have to double check, make sure it's not the Onion or the Babylon Bee.
Yeah.
Right? That it is, in fact, real. This is in Chicago. Teen activist. 17-year-old kid. And we hate to see this because when you're 17, you don't know what you want in life. You only think you do.
Yeah.
Although if you'd told me that when I was 17, I'd have told you where to stuff it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I was clueless. Teen activist in Chicago who is quite well known for, rallying young people to defund the police, remove police from schools. Yeah, sadly, he's no longer with us.
Oh, gosh.
He was shot and killed in his depoliced neighborhood this weekend. Yeah. Found shot in the head. No suspect has been named in the shooting. By the way, 156% increase in murders in Chicago over last year.
But once again, liberal policies are not being held to their consequences.
No.
You know, then media will not point this out.
No.
And if Fox News or any, right-leaning media outlet says anything about it, you're being a racist. You're not for social justice.
But again, I pointed this out extensively after Baltimore, which now I don't know if they do now because the violence is spread all over the country. But in the years after Freddie Gray, they depoliced. That was literally their stated policy. They pulled police particularly out of black areas, and those that were still left in, which wasn't anything like what they had before. They were very much handcuffed from doing anything.
Right.
And they achieved the Baltimore going into this year had the highest per capita murder rate in the country.
Yeah.
That's what you get. And most of the bodies were black.
Not a Chamber of Commerce talking point for them.
No, but it's true.
Yeah.
It is. And you and I spent an extensive amount of time on it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the price is black bodies. And the first year after Freddie Gray, when they depoliced, it was over 100 additional black bodies. I mean, man, stack that up in a parking lot. Take a look at it. It's terrible. But there is a real numerical consequence to depolicing, and unfortunately, minority neighborhoods pay the biggest price. Although it looks like the price is spreading. You saw that 286% increase in robberies in the wealthy neighborhoods of New York?
Well, you're certainly not going to rob the poor neighborhoods, are you?
I guess not.
Your return on investment's not very good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, okay, remember when Trump had the last rally that he had before the left defeated his rallies?
Yeah.
Literally putting Black Lives Matter, blocking the gates to get in to the Trump rally.
Yeah.
And his then campaign manager, Brad Parscale, pointing out in a tweet, you can't, we used to have families come to these, a lot of kids, no kids at the last rally he had. They were all afraid of Black Lives Matter. The activist literally blocking the gates. And menacing people, big mess. Anyway, but Trump defeated them in a way, and I really wish he'd have another rally because of the views he got online. He got 23 million views, which was incredible. Total audience. Okay, so Joe Biden just had an unveiling. He unveiled his Latino agenda. You want to know what his audience was?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Trump's 23 million for the last rally he had online. Joe got a whopping 136 people. So that's like a little more than two per state.
That sort of speaks to that enthusiasm gap that they've been talking about in this campaign, where Republican voters are very enthusiastic to go out and vote for Trump, and Democrat voters are to go out and vote for Biden.
Well, Well, you have so many options if you're a Democrat for expressing how you feel. You could go burn something down.
Yeah, right.
You know, you could beat people and the police will just watch. You can try to burn down federal buildings, say whatever you want on social media, threaten to kill people on social media. It's all good. No one will take you down. And so you have so many options for expressing yourself. Voting is just one of many.
And for those of us on the right, our self-expression is very limited.
Very limited these days.
Very limited. In fact, our constitutional rights are very limited.
Yeah. Speaking of which, new poll. People are really, the American people are really buying into this mask thing. Listen to this. Well over three quarters of Americans would support a nationwide mask mandate. That's according to a Hill-Harris survey revealed on Monday. So this was taken July 26th through the 27th. Only 948 registered voters, but still interesting.
Well,
and so you get three quarters of Americans say they want the mask mandate.
I'll just be perfectly honest. I will and I am wearing a mask when I go out, period. Now, I'm not here in the radio station because we're separated. I'm never within 6 feet of anybody and hardly in the same room. Well, I'm not in the same room with anybody at any point, unless there may be somebody, one of the Rise guys hiding out in the men's room somewhere. But then we're, 6 feet off and partitioned away. But at any rate, I'm going to wear a mask. My wife and I both are. I'm not even going to question it. But I am opposed to there being a national mandate. Number one, it is not enforceable. There is not a national enforcement agency that can enforce that. Quite honestly, this should be up to the individual businesses and the individual states and communities if they decide to do that. And then they can be responsible for that when it comes time for the vote in November, whether or not the people think that that was a smart thing to do or even constitutional. But once again, I've got no problem with businesses who want to do that because it's their property. They should be able to dictate, you know, standards of behavior and dress or whatever. And if they say, hey, you know, the only way you're going to do business with me is to wear a mask and come in. OK, fine. I will either do business there and wear the mask or I will not. I'll go somewhere else as long as I have a choice. So my problem with this is that this is people are not understanding the question, the legal ability of the federal government to impose that. They can't.
And that comes back to a basic civics lesson.
Or an understanding of civics,
how it
which
even
is the
works.
Problem.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I'm still trying to shop in places that don't require a mask. There's still a handful of those. But I'm finding that occasionally I do have to, just to get stuff I need to make certain recipes, stop by in places that do require a mask. So having to do that. When I do, I wear my Trump mask proudly.
Well, and I will wear one even if not required in a large gathering. But that's me. That's my choice.
Yeah, and I think that's fine.
You know,
I think that's totally
obviously
fine.
Obviously, I'm in more of a risk group than you are.
Right. So. Right. No, so, and that's, you know, but I understand that people are terrified of this. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are legitimately at risk. So when I'm not wearing a mask, which to me, wearing a mask is a political statement. We've now had, by the way, the top health officials in Holland, Sweden, and Norway come out and say masks are useless, which is what our top health officials were saying as late as March 8th.
And I've seen a recent one. I think the Ohio State Department of Health or something is saying gloves are useless, too.
Oh,
I haven't really seen a whole lot of glove wearing, you know, other than maybe, you know, some folks who may work in a restaurant or food service, you know, type of situation. Really haven't seen too many gloves. That, you know, that got to be a thing for a while, that people will wear the mask and gloves, and it's like, that's sort of gone away.
Yeah. But I do try to socially distance because I understand people are terrified.
Yeah,
and for me, this is political. This is like a to my core political issue for me. But I get that people are scared. And so when I'm shopping, I go way out of my way to not get close to anybody, even though it adds time to my shopping, because I try to be polite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to be one of these people who's
that's the other
in
thing.
Your face.
The time it takes now. I actually
forever,
went to a big box store yesterday to pick up one particular item. And I had to sit there and wait in line because, of course, all the social distancing, and they're having to tell people, okay, I can take a customer at this register now, because you couldn't stand in line behind the register.
You know what? I'm just going to tell you this. They're going to admit when all this is over that the masks didn't work.
Yeah, I know.
That's coming. These health officials who are telling you this are just being honest in these other countries. We've had three major peer-reviewed studies in the last 2 months. One found masks were effective. The other two said they were utterly ineffective outside a hospital setting. So that's, they're going to admit this, but they're just not going to do it before the election.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So what in life did you win? And what'd you settle for? It'd be hard to even speak that out loud, right? I'm amazed they found anybody willing to answer this survey, but some people did. It's interesting. Top 10 things we settle for. More than 80% of people say they settle for things that aren't the best, according to the new survey. Well, it makes sense. Not everyone can have the best, obviously. It's very limited. It's what makes it special. The best in life, I mean. All right, top 10 things we say we settle for. A price we could have, this is number 10, a price we could have negotiated but didn't. I've done that before. Hate to admit, but I have. A haggling over a car is a nightmare. Hate doing it. All right, number 9, clothing brands. Yeah, most of us settle for those. That's easy. At night, you throw clothes in the wash machine 2-3 times. Shoot, looks just like it does at the thrift store where most of my kids' clothes come from. Number 8, cheaper restaurants. Yes, of course. Number 7, generic grocery store brand foods instead of name brands. All right, yeah, not surprising. Now listen to this. All right, you ready? We're doing things. This is top 10 things we settle for. So this is according to responses, right? Number 6 in the top 10 things we settle for, our partner.
Whoa.
I'm just going to let that hang out there and keep going. Number 5, top 10 things we settle for, our friends. Jeez. Number 4, our car. Yeah, here, here. Hey, it's paid for. You have to park it where you can't see it because it's embarrassing, but it's paid for. Okay, number 3, things we settle for, the house we live in. Number 2, our job. And number 1, most common thing we settle for, our salary. I'm just let that hang. Like to know what you didn't settle for. I'd like to see the opposite of this survey. Okay, so if this is you, and you settled for a lot of stuff in your life, you're not alone. A lot of people out there doing it. 80% of people doing it. Texter writes, hey Lee, I'm going to tell Lee this if he's not listening. I tried your coffee carafe cleaning trick with the dishwasher pod. Could not believe it. Like new. Thanks. By the way, I got an email yesterday on the burnt pot, never throw away burnt pot or pan again trick. Asking me, no, you don't use the fabric softener sheets. You use like the liquid fabric softener. You just like pour it right on whatever stuck and leave it there. Max have ever left it to, like, you know, 24, 48 hours, like a day and a half probably. Take it right off. It'll just, and sometimes you have to apply it a few times, but it will eventually, you don't have to scrape a thing. You don't want to scrape that stuff because it releases chemicals and then you cook on it. It's a mess. Yeah, home life hacks. That's what the show devolved into yesterday. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Texter, oh, this is good. Texter, I'd say, Tara, the number one thing our country settles for are our politicians. Yes, useless. Texter writes, hey Tara, for those of us hoping to find a date at some point in life, where can we go to see who's single and wants to mingle? Grocery stores? So this is Paul. Paul, I wouldn't get close to anybody in grocery stores right now. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like close enough to have a conversation. I wouldn't do that. You might end up in one of those viral videos with a screaming Karen in your face. All right. Texter writes, what's the difference between settling for something and deciding to accept it? I don't know. This is not Deep Thoughts with Tara Servatius this morning. I don't know. Wow, that's too deep. It's only 7:26. Texter writes, if those mask numbers are like the pool numbers for Biden, I don't believe them. Yeah, okay. All right, coming up on the show. Oh, man, this mail-in voting, folks. I knew there'd be a third coup. Been waiting for it. This is it. Let me make it real simple for you so you understand what they're doing with this mail-in voting, which is a very different thing from absentee ballots, which you have to request. There's a formal process for this. With the mail-in voting, they just send the ballots to everybody all the registered voters on the rolls, right? Okay, here's the only thing you need to understand what they're doing. This is a tweet from Lawrence Tribe. He was the lead attorney for Al Gore in the Hanging Chad Battle of Florida, okay? And he's been on all the television shows now. They're bringing him out. This is because they're getting ready to try to steal the election using mail-in balloting. I'm telling you, this is their strategy. Listen to this. This is what he's saying. This is his tweet. Under the 20th Amendment, the president's term ends January 20th at noon. If a president and vice president haven't been chosen by then, the Speaker of the House becomes president. Treating the November 3rd election as meaningless would make Speaker Pelosi president. Okay, forget the second part. I'll explain the second part in a minute. So this is what they figured out. And they're not wrong. The Democrats don't have to cheat in the casting of ballots, although they will try to do that. They simply don't have to count the ballots at all. They're running the dry run for this in New York right now, by the way. So you got to get the public used to this, that this is the new normal. You don't know who wins. You don't know who won on election night. You don't know for weeks, if not months after. We are 6 weeks out from the congressional primary that was held in New York, and they have no idea who won it. The lawsuits are just beginning. And wait till you hear what a judge just ruled. If this is used as precedent for the general election, we will not know who won. And I think that's the idea, to tie stuff up in litigation through January 20th, kick it from the legislatures up to Congress. They pick the president, which, by the way, does not necessarily have to be Pelosi. It could be. But they'd probably go with somebody else, which is why I think Cuomo's traveling the country as if he's campaigning. Watch that. Just went down to Georgia. There was a reason for that. Too many of my segments start like this. Can you imagine if, turns out, the FBI had for a long time, years and years, in its possession evidence that, pick a major Republican leader. Donald J. Trump, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy had flown multiple times to pedophile islands with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. We knew that part. The new part, the documents, which also reflect very poorly on Alan Dershowitz and Prince Andrew, has Bill Clinton on the island, walking around, seen in the company of underage girls. Do you think if it was Mitch McConnell, or I don't know, anyone like that, a previous president? Suppose it was Barack Obama. That's a better example. It'd be shocking, wouldn't it? Would be shocking. But suppose it was a major Republican. Suppose it was George W. Bush. Let's go there. Suppose it was him. Do you think the media would ask Bush for comment? I think the media would make much of it, or they just ignore it. It's just probably a pedophile scandal. It's no big deal. Oh, heck no. Are you kidding? They'd be on his lawn. You know they would. Let's do a comparable. Let's say it's George W. Bush. They'd be on his lawn. Are you kidding me? We always found that Reagan, even though Reagan is gone, had done a thing like that. Been in that kind of company. Think they would have asked him back in the day? Of course they would. Just stunning. Not one word. Called the Clintons for comment. Can you find that anywhere? No, they didn't. They didn't call for comment. They don't want any comment. I mean, this is stunning. So these new court documents, I mean, the second question that would be asked, right, if it was Mitch McConnell or if it was Trump or it was George W. Bush, the second question that would be asked, if documents emerged that the FBI had throughout the entire 2016 election, they had them, they said nothing, that some prominent Republican had been in the company not only of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, who is now under arrest for sex trafficking underage girls, and in the company of said underage girls at the pedophile island. Do you think the media, if that kind of thing came out on a Republican, prominent Republican, do you think the media would ask the FBI why they held onto said documents for so long and never made them public? Think they'd ask that? Oh, you know they would. They'd be demanding resignations. But it's Bill. So no big deal. I mean, this is stunning to watch this. I know, it's absolutely stunning. Hillary hasn't commented on it. She went 3 days without tweeting. Bill's up to 5 now. I think it's actually 6 today. Not a word on his Twitter account. So when you get caught cold, dead to rights busted with Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell on the pedophile island. And by the way, if they wanted to put this together, it'd be a blockbuster story. But they don't. Brett Baer broke the news a couple years ago that, and you can see this with the Secret Service records, because you know presidents get Secret Service protection for life, that Bill Clinton had taken the highly unusual step of calling off the Secret Service, so they did not fly with him to Pedophile Island. You have to go through a whole application process to call them off temporarily. He did. On multiple trips. Let's see, so he calls off the Secret Service, flies to Pedophile Island, is in the company of underage girls, convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. I think that's a story? Dude. But it's not. And what is remarkable is this. If you watch Twitter, you could tell what everybody is a Twitter about. Starting on Sunday, hashtag Bill Clinton is a pedo began to trend. Bill Clinton is a pedo. I saw that. I mean, they'll shut that down. They did. It hit top trends, which means it's in the top 5 right there. It's one of the hottest things on Twitter. So this has been noticed. This is not a small level story. By Sunday evening, it had trended, hashtag Bill Clinton is a pedo, to the top item in the politics category on the social media network. Think that's news? Would be if it's anybody but Clinton. But it's not. It is amazing what the media is willing to tolerate. Amazing. And kind of scary. I mean, what wouldn't they tolerate from a Democrat? We don't know. We have buildings burning. I mean, I literally don't know. And that's really scary. Really scary. Especially when you look at how the right is being quashed in terms of free speech rights. It gets worse every day. Left won't report this, we know. It's up to us. And Fox News did a great job of it. I mean, they covered it. But what about when there's no echo chamber left? Nobody left on Twitter to make Bill Clinton is a pedo hashtag trend. Nobody gets your news now if you want to hear the other side. What then? I mean, the media's not going to cover this stuff. We now know. I mean, every day it's a new thing. We now know, the appearance of pedophilia is okay. It's all right. It's fine. It's good. As long as it's a Democrat, no big deal. We don't have to tell you. Well, if we're all shut down, who will tell you? Who will hold them accountable? It's increasingly day in, day out, I don't know. So there you go. Texter writes, this election is going to be a disaster. What better way to burn down the system than to destroy the foundation and credibility of our electoral process in this election and forever, especially for the impressionable younger generation? Yeah, I want to give you a hint of what's coming up at 8:37. I'm going to lay out the whole Democrat plan to steal the election. They've already laid it out for you. I mean, you could just play the clips. But I gave you a bit of a tease of it. It's Must Hear Radio. You can get it on the podcast later by texting podcast to 71307. Newt Gingrich absolutely nailed this morning. Fox News was covering Trump's lawsuit against Nevada, where they're going into the mail-in ballots, right? Now, with the mail-in ballots, not like an absentee ballot, right, where you have to request, it's a formal process. Mail-in ballots, anybody on the voter rolls gets one. Gets one. They just send it to the House. Listen to the problem with that. Here's Newt Gingrich. It's terrifying.
In Nevada, for example, they're going to mail ballots to 200,000 people who, according to the post office, don't exist. They're either dead, they've moved, the address doesn't work. 200,000 extra ballots floating around out there. You're seeing it in New York right now. You have two congressional districts that 6 weeks after the primary do not have, they haven't been able to announce a winner. Now, you get into that in terms of a presidential campaign nationwide, and I think this is going to be the most disastrous election in American history at the rate at which the Democrats are trying, frankly, to set up an ability to steal it, because I think they don't think they can win an honest election.
Yep. It's exactly what's going on. Again, they only have to get to January 20th without a clear winner. And they pick the president. Get this email from a listener, Perry. Greetings, Tara. I was browsing my news and noticed Tucker Carlson is just now proclaiming these subdued facts in the Floyd case. Yeah, the end of George Floyd's life. Not clear who caused it, him, the officer, or both. We know that now that we are able to see the body cam video, which they had to leak. Once you see it, you can see why it had to be leaked. They wouldn't release that. Ruins the political narrative. As you state, Perry writes, as us loyal listeners know, you were always first and always in front of any story that means a damn in our lives. Not every story, although I try. But thank you, many. Tucker is just now bringing to light the rest of the video you brought to our attention through a transcript of the police body cam weeks ago. Imagine how much damage and violence that could have been prevented if mainstream media was just half as on top of their game as you are. Well, thank you, Perry. I'm always bragging on you on that you're always the first to report anything of substance and that matters, he writes. I just wanted to drop you a line to say thank you for making me aware and knowledgeable in what really matters. This Fox Tucker Carlson headline just made me take a double take at what we already knew here in the upstate, those of us who listen to the best morning talk show host. Oh, thank you. I apologize for the badly structured email. I am very sleepy. I just say thanks for the head start we, your listeners, have by simply tuning into your show. My best regards, your loyal listener, Perry. Well, that made my day, Perry. Thank you for the email. Appreciate that. Yes, that's what we do here, and it makes all the hard work and all the hours I spend doing this worth it. Texter writes, yes, and a lot of people are debating, but you got to understand what's going on right now. Okay, here's what I did. I read Lawrence Tribe's tweet, okay? Let me read it again, because he's telling you what they're going to try. I'm not saying this is going to work. He's telling you what they're going to try. This is the point behind mail-in balloting. We're already seeing the dry run in New York. 6 weeks after a congressional race, they have no freaking clue who won. That is the point of mail-in balloting. Because, according to Lawrence Tribe, he was the leader of the team of attorneys who fought the Hanging Chad battle on behalf of Al Gore. He's a hardcore liberal. Okay, so they're bringing him in. He's all over the TV now. This is why. This is what he tweets. Under the 20th Amendment, the president's term ends on January 20th at noon. If a president and vice president haven't been chosen by then, he says, Speaker of House becomes president. Okay. He's right and he's wrong. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Speaker of the House. He's just using Nancy Pelosi as a hook there. It could be her. It could be Cuomo. It could be anybody they want. But if you can't tell who won because of the chaos that they are planning and orchestrating, then their contention is, their reading of the 20th Amendment is, Congress picks the president and the vice president. So this is what they're telling us. This is what they're saying. This is how they're going to run the coup. Now, does it work? Do the courts buy that interpretation of the 20th Amendment? I don't know. I'm telling you what they're telling you. This is the plan. Texter writes, they won't make it to January 20th. The electors report their votes to Congress on January 6th. Lawrence Tribe addressed that. Actually played the audio yesterday. If there is no clear winner, then the House chooses the president from those names immediately. Okay. What Lawrence Tribe says here, yeah, okay, yes, but what they're arguing, this is them laying out their plan, right? This is not me endorsing their plan. This is them laying out their plan. That what they expect is in these swing states in particular, where the legislatures have to report the electors' votes. They are expecting mass chaos at the legislative level. And so Congress does not have to accept the results of the legislatures if they are in question and chaos and tied up in court battles. So he talked about January 6th and he said, if there's no clear list of names and the plan is for there to not be because of mail-in voting, and it'll work. Look at New York. Then they choose. Okay. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm saying that's what they're going to try. That is the plan. We'll see if it works.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.